Take your Bibles, please turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. We'll read verses 7 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you do for us in this place. Lord, it's quite evident already that the Holy Spirit's presence is here. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you that your Holy Spirit's power is upon us. Now, God, please help us, help our preacher today, strengthening, give him exactly what you have for him to say today. Give us ears to hear what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated.
If you're a guest here today, all of those young ladies are in our Christian school, are members of our church, and there's not a one of them that came up here that's an entertainer. Those are godly young ladies. They work on bus routes. They go soul winning. They're pure. They're clean. They don't do wrong. They're not perfect, but they're fine young ladies. And so often you can get up and hear someone sing in a church, but you know their life doesn't match what they just sang. I can testify on behalf of those young ladies, their life matches what they just sang. And those are the kind of people that will sing from our platform here. This morning, my sermon is entitled, How I Survive. How I Survive. Oh, listen, if you will, because if you'll listen, you will walk away helped today. I promise you that. This is a happy season for many. Why? Well, it's a season of family, and it's a season, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. So for many, this is a family season. It's a giving season. But may I bring to your attention also, this season can be a season of the downhearted. This can be a season of depression for some. You say, why? Well, when everyone is happy and they're with their families and they're getting to spend this joyous celebration called Christmas, there are others who are hurting. Maybe they've lost a loved one, so they celebrate this time alone. Maybe it's a time when families realize their family is not what they wish it was. People will celebrate this holiday. Some son will celebrate this holiday without his daddy at home. Some wife will celebrate this holiday where her husband is no longer living under her roof. Someone will celebrate this holiday with a broken heart. I don't know if you realize it or not, but nationally, the statistics show that there are more suicides between Thanksgiving and the New Year than there are the other times of the year. And you say, why? Because while the rest of the world is living in bliss and enjoying Christmas and the holidays, there are some whose hearts are broken in a deeper way because of the absence of some of the family and the absence of some of the joy and the peace that these holidays can bring. As we read earlier, we see in 2 Timothy a passage of Scripture, and I'm going to show you just a verse of it again here in a second. But let me tell you something. Though the world may be struggling at this time, Christians should be rising above what the world does emotionally. We should be different than the world. You're born again. You have the Savior living within you. Therefore, you should not be behaving like the world. You may face some tough times, but we have a Savior that can help us not to suffer the same way that the world suffers. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, let me read something to you here. The Apostle Paul makes this statement. One verse special I want to point out. He says, therefore, I endure all things. Therefore, I endure all things. I, again, call this sermon, How I Survive. Look back at me, if you will, please. The Apostle Paul said, therefore, I endure all things. Now, Paul is a survivor. And Paul was a survivor. The Bible teaches us that Paul suffered shipwreck more than one time. In other words, he was out in the sea, a shipwreck, and he was out there in the waves and the storm, but he survived it. He had been bitten by a snake, a poisonous snake, but he survived it. He had been in prison more than one time, but he survived it. He had been beaten more than one time. And we're talking about for his stand for Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, though beaten, he survived it. He had faced illness, but he survived it. Some believe that Paul may have had seizures, maybe like our modern day epilepsy. Paul had seizures. Paul also had an eye problem where he could not see well, but he survived it. Paul had been harassed over and over again. Paul would go into a city as a gospel preacher, and the so-called religious people of the town would harass him because they did not like the truth that he would preach. They were used to padding their coffers with the money of God's people, but not preaching the truth. They would back off, and these religious people, they would back off on what ought to be said so that their offerings would stay up. Paul would come into town, preach the truth, and just make them look like a bunch of cowards. And when he would get to town, it was the religious people that would go after him, and they would harass him, and they would get with the local officials and say, this guy ought to be thrown in jail. And Paul did spend a lot of time in jail, but Paul survived it. Paul had been rejected by his peers, but he was a survivor. Paul had lost so-called friends, but he was a survivor. Paul said this, he said, therefore, I endure all things. Now, I thank God that we have the example of a man by the name of the Apostle Paul, who was a survivor. You just look at the 13, maybe 14 books that God used the Apostle Paul to pen, and over again, you see Paul going through difficult times, but he survived them. He was a survivor. Maybe one of the greatest compliments ever paid to me. I think this compliment was paid to my wife. I think to my dear friend, Brother Bush. My pastor, who for many years was Dr. Jack Hiles, made this statement. I was going through a tough time in my life where I was facing the devil, and the devil was trying to battle with me and trying to ruin me, get me out of the ministry. And I think Brother Hiles, as Brother Bush went to Brother Hiles and said, you know, I just hate to see Brother Owens go through these battles. And Brother Hiles said, don't worry, Brother Owens is a survivor. A survivor. I think Brother Hiles told my wife the same thing as I went through a battle and the devil was out to destroy my ministry. My pastor said to my dear wife, don't worry, your husband, he's a survivor. Now I'm going to say, I do not know if that's true or not. I know at this moment I'm alive. I'm okay. I think I'm going to make it. I am not here to exalt some characteristic of my own, but if indeed I am a survivor, and to date I have made it through many dangers, toils, and snares, it might be that I know how to go through some of them. If it is true, what Brother Heil said, that I am a survivor, and I'm not sure that's true, but if it is true, I sit down and I ask myself, why? Why have I survived thus far? And I figured maybe if I could figure out why I have survived thus far, you might need it. Some of you might need it to survive the ruggedness of these holidays. And you say, well, Brother Owens, the holidays are wonderful. Many of you will face some difficult times over the holidays. Your family and friends won't understand you, and the absence of a loved one, the heartache that comes at this time of year. I want to help you. And I'm going to tell you a little something about how I survived. My wife and I, she was pregnant right after we got married. Just a few months into our marriage, my wife became pregnant with our first child. Obviously, it was not God's will that we get to have that child, and so we lost our first child. But we did not get bitter. We did not get angry. We did not leave the church. We did not blame God. We stayed in church and stayed faithful in God and believed that God knew best. I was a young man coming up in the church. I'd been called to preach when I was 16 years old. And I remember my pastor saying to me, Jeff, I want you to be faithful to the end. I want you to be faithful to the end. I heard more than one pastor say that to me. I also watched five pastors come and go through my church in a matter of 20 years. Pastors that would say to me, "You got to stay faithful to God. You got to stay in the pulpit." And then they stepped out of God's service and left the church. Now, let me tell you something. When you're a young preacher boy in your teenage years and a man of God gets up and says, "You got to be faithful to God." And then that very man of God stops serving in his church, it can become confusing. In 20 years at my home church, the first pastor was there for 11 years. And in the next 9 years, there were four different pastors. One that only lasted, I think, 18 months. But you know what? I decided I was going to be faithful. I decided it didn't matter to me how many pastors came and went. I was going to survive this thing. I wanted to serve God, and I wanted to be a good Christian. When our son Joshua was born, he won't remember this. It's because he was too little. But when he was born, we wanted to bring him home from the hospital, and the doctor said there's something wrong. And rather than gaining weight, he lost weight. And I remember 24 hours a day, for 2 weeks, my wife and I did not leave his bedside. One of the two of us were there. He kept losing weight and losing weight and losing weight. And they said, "We're losing him. We're losing him." Miraculously, God intervened and spared our child. He's not all there, but we have him. I'm so pleased as I look and see as one of my assistant pastors say, "We almost lost our child." We'd already lost one, but we did not get bitter. We didn't stop serving God. We survived it. I remember when God called us to go off to Bible college and we sold everything, sold our home, gave up our jobs, moved it up to where it snows 30 and 40 inches and stays below zero and it's cold and nasty. Couldn't find a job for a while and got a job and got laid off and then got another job. I remember the struggle of selling everything out and moving to a place where I didn't know anybody because that's what God wanted me to do, but we survived it. I remember as we were growing as Christians, as a husband and wife, I remember that our family did not understand us. There were things that we used to do at Christmas time that we wouldn't do anymore. We wouldn't go to certain parties. There were certain things we would not do. We would not subject our children to certain things. Not because we were better than them, but we did think Jesus was better than us all and that we ought to live in such a way that we would glorify Him in all that we did. And I remember family and friends that would turn on us and mock us and make fun of us. But I'm here to tell you, we survived it. We survived it. I can go to four different occasions where my life was threatened in the last 28 years of my ministry. And I'm talking about, I had a gun pointed at me where someone was going to kill me once. I've had my life threatened where someone said they were going to blow me up. Four times. My life. One night, my wife, I came home from preaching, and my wife said the county sheriff called. They're sending someone by. They're going to post a car outside our house. A man that was in jail had asked me if I would go to court and testify on behalf of his character, but I could not go and lie. And I said, "Sir, I cannot." He said, "I'll kill you." That very night, believe it or not, he escaped jail, and the last thing he said is, "I'm going to kill that man." They posted a car outside my house to keep me safe. But you know something? I survived it. I didn't get bitter. I didn't get angry. I didn't give up on God. I made it. I'm okay. I survived it. I remember when my pastor was off on a preaching trip, much like your pastor here goes off on preaching trips. My pastor going to Mexico. He went down to go on a preaching trip. He would be back on Wednesday and preach as usual. He came back on Wednesday, but word had come that he had had some health problems. Preached on Wednesday night, the last sermon he had ever preached, because 2 days earlier, unbeknownst to anybody, he had had a heart attack. And within days, he was dead. Didn't expect it. And I'm telling you, I gave my heart to my pastor, and suddenly he was gone. But I survived it. I survived it. I did not become bitter or angry. I can tell you, there are battles that I will not tell you of that I have been through. I wouldn't even go into telling you of some of the battles that we faced, but we survived them. I remember when we left Indiana and came here, everyone said, "You're going where?" Martinsburg, West Virginia. Where's that? What's there? I remember my wife packing up all of her belongings, and what we could not get here, we gave away. We lived in a 2,400 square foot home. It's beautiful. Swimming pool, retirement program. We walked away from every bit of it to come here. And we survived it. Brain tumors, illnesses, surgeries, death in our family, the death of brothers, brother-in-laws, sister-in-laws. Even since we've come here in 2.5 years, if you just think about the story of the deaths in our own personal family, we survived it. Broken hearts for a variety of reasons. Lied about, gossiped about, attacked and scorned. But guess what? We survived it. I do not know if I should hold the title survivor, but for whatever part, I have learned something about survival. Let me tell you something about survival and surviving and how I have survived. Let me first of all say this before I get into the actual points of the sermon. Let me say, if we all survive, if any of us survive, it is because of the mercy and the grace of God. I was on an airplane and I think I was flying to Houston, Texas, or maybe I was at my flight to Missouri recently. I have my Bible out, and I was studying my Bible and thinking of you and preparing, I think, this very sermon. Stewardess walked by and said, "I knew you must be a preacher." She said, "God knows we need more people to do what you do." And I said, "I agree, ma'am," and I kept studying my Bible. She said, "You know, we just don't have a lot of people of faith and a lot of people that are aggressive about the work of God today." And I said, "I believe that." And I made this statement to her. I said, "Man, my daddy taught me a long time ago that we're to work like it all depends on us, and then we're to pray like it all depends on God. And when you work like it all depends on you and pray like it all depends on God, therein you'll find success in the Christian life." She said, "That is a neat statement." She walked back and waited on some people for a little while. She came hurriedly back through the aisle, pulled out a pen and a paper, and she laid it on my little tray there and said, "Preacher, would you write that statement down? I want to share that with people. That statement about working and praying." And I wrote it out. We work like it all depends on us, and then we pray like it all depends on God, and therein is the success of the Christian life. She folded that thing up and put it in her little apron, and she said, "Boy, God brought you on this trip just for me, because I needed someone to tell me I needed to work harder at making it, and then God will take care of the rest." And that's how it was. So may I say to everybody in this building, as you face hardships and difficulties in life, you need to work like it all depends on you and pray like it all depends on God. Don't you just lie back and say, "God, you take care of it all." He won't do that. He's going to expect you to do your part. But then you need to pray and realize that it is God's intervention and it is God's mercy and God's grace. If any of us survive and we continue to be faithful, it'll be because He has made it possible. But He will give you the energy and the wherewithal to survive in life. I just scribbled some things down about how to be a survivor. How do I survive? Let me say this. First of all, I decided a long time ago I want to be a survivor. I decided I want to be a survivor. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whosoever or whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Let me explain something. I made a decision when I was a 16-year-old boy that I wanted to survive for God. I did not want to be a casualty. I didn't want to be one of these people that came to the church and came to Christ and lasted a month or a year and then dropped out. By the way, they come through in a mighty army. They'll come in, pop by, they maybe get saved, get baptized, sit in church for a few weeks or a few months, and then they're gone. Well, you know what they needed to do? They needed to do what I did when I was a 16-year-old boy. God called me to preach. I made a decision. I'm going to do this to the duration. I'm going to the end. I want to make it to the end. I don't want to be a quitter. I decided I wanted to be a survivor. And you need to decide the same thing. You want to survive? Then decide to survive. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. It's time for some of you young Christians to say, I'm going to survive by the grace of God. I'm not going to be history around the church someday. I'm not going to be a casualty. Just so you know, someday I'll preach a sermon. Casualty has the root word casual. Those of you that will be casualties in the cause of Christ are those of you that take church casually. You take the preaching casually. You stop in and casually come to church. You'll be a casualty if you're casual about the things of God. I've watched quitters all along the way. I watched young men who were called to preach at the time I was called to preach, and I watched them quit. I decided I don't want to do that. I watched Christians quit along the way. I decided I don't want to do that. I want to serve God all the way to the finish line. I determined that I wanted to be an old-time fundamentalist, and I was not going to change. I want to be 80 years old. I want a full head of gray hair. We're not far from it. We're not far from the gray hair, but we're a long way away from the 80. But at 80 years old, I want to stand in the pulpit and say, I've not changed my convictions. I've not changed my standards. I've not changed my Bible. I've not changed the kind of music I allow in my church. Listen, folks, you're stuck with the young, wild me. I plan to stay this way until it's an old, wild me. I don't plan to calm down. I planned that. And I'm as strong about what I believe today as I was when I was a 16-year-old boy. And may I say to you, I decided I want to be a survivor. And there's some of you, you need to determine today, I want to be a survivor. Paul said, I have endured. And you need to decide that you want to endure. Secondly, to be a survivor, you're going to have to remind yourself that others are watching you and need you to survive. Others are watching you, and they need you to survive. Now, I searched through my heart and mind and said, okay, I often have people say, Brother Owens, you just seem to hang in there, and with a good attitude, and a good spirit, and you just keep on going no matter what comes your way. And I analyzed myself, and I said, self, what do you do to survive? How is it you're like the Timex watch? You take your licking, but you keep on ticking. What is it about you? What do you do? I said, first of all, I planned on being a survivor. I want to be a survivor. But secondly, I began to realize people needed me to be a survivor. 2 Timothy 2:10, it says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. Paul said, I endure for somebody else's sake. You know something? There are people in this room that need this sermon I'm preaching this morning. I happen to know that somebody needed a sermon like this, and I needed to survive the week so I could be on top side so you could get the sermon you need. I need to survive so that I can preach sermons of survival to the people that I love. The same is true for you. Somebody needs you to be a survivor. Somebody needs you to make it. Somebody's watching you. People need examples of people who say, you can make it. You can take it. If you won't do it for yourself, why don't you do it for everybody else? Well, I just don't care about my life. Well, the issue's not all about you, honey. Get your eyes off yourself. Do it for everybody else. There have been times when I want to fold it up and go home. Because I thought I'd been beat up enough, I'd put up with enough, I'd been hurt enough, and I just wanted to go home. But then I looked around, and I noticed there were a bunch of people that were counting on me to make it, so I sucked it up, and I said, I'm not quitting for your sake, and your sake, and your sake, and their sake. Keep your eyes off yourself. See, to be a survivor, you've got to realize somebody else needs you to survive. You can make it. You can take it. The strength of the Frank Shepherd family was needed, and by the way, it was found. Brother Frank went to heaven. He's with the angels right now. But let me tell you something. One of our men said this of the viewing up of the funeral home. They said, "Brother Owens, I went there and I was encouraged by that family." Now you understand it was that family that had just lost a loved one. But that family was at a viewing and they believed in heaven and they had a smile on their face. Yes, they wept tears. Yes, they hurt. But they knew that God was real and heaven was real. And in the time of their mourning, they looked around and said, "These people need to see the reality of God in our life." And they did. And they did, and thank God for it. I've watched Ed and Betty Davis as Betty has gone through her cancer surgery. Take it like warriors. Keep their chin up. Encourage and believe that God's good. Thank you, Brother Davis. Thank you so much. If they wanted to fold it up and say, "Oh, we quit." Maybe they're like the rest of us. Every once in a while they want to. Sure, but I'll tell you what. I believe they looked around and said, "There are people watching us." They know there are people in their Sunday school class watching. They know there are young Christians in this church that are watching. Folks, look at me. We've got to do something. Paul said, "I endure for everybody else's sake." Preachers need to hear about preachers that go through battles and make it. Funny thing. I travel. Preachers always want to know what I've been through. What you been through? How's it going? They want to hear the horror stories because they're looking for encouragement. They're looking for someone to say, "You can do this. You can do this. You can do this." If you want to be a survivor, I say to you, first of all, you have to decide you want to be a survivor. There's some of you, you've not decided that yet. That's why you're so hard to encourage. Once you just decide you want to be a survivor, then you need to determine that others are watching and you'll survive for their sake. Thirdly, to be a survivor, you must believe that God is just. That God is just. Hear me out. Psalm 89, verse 14, the Bible says, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne," speaking of God. You see, when I say God is just, that means God is a fair God. You can depend on God. He will never allow you to go through a temptation without giving you the strength to say no to that temptation. You better determine God is just. Some of you would like to blame your failure or your lack of survival on God and what He's allowed in your life. I'm sorry, God's a just God. You may not blame God for your failure, you'll have to blame you for your failure. Because God is a just God, and some of you need to go ahead and settle that. God's a just God. You say, "Why do you say that?" Because the Bible says it. And the Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Now, who should I trust, the God that never lied or you? So I trust God. And God is a just God. He will never bring a temptation into your life that He will not give you the wherewithal to handle. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." You listen to me. Your God is a just God. If temptation has come your way and you have submitted, it's your fault, not His fault. He gave you the strength or a way to escape that temptation. All you had to do is capitalize on the strength that He gave. God will never require you to face a burden or carry a burden that He will not give you the strength to bear. I have always believed that God would see me through. I have been burdened down. I have been crushed by the weight of heartache, disappointment, and pain. But burning somewhere in the recesses of my heart and mind was this truth: God will give me the strength to make it. He has to. He promised He would, and God can't lie. So I can make it. If you say, "Brother Owens, I faced a burden and I didn't make it through," then it's your fault, not God's. He provided the strength and you chose not to use it. God is fair and God is just. So if I am a survivor, I'm telling you what goes on in my heart and mind to help me survive. You must believe that God is just. I know it's a little warm. I want you to pay attention. Set up nice and straight. Pay attention. Those of you in the choir, stay awake. If you can't stay awake during church, I want you to leave the choir and go down and sit in the congregation. But if you're tired, you need to get it together. It's a little demeaning for the congregation to watch people in the choir sleep while I'm preaching. Isn't that true, folks?
Yes, sir.
It's bothersome. Stop staying up late at night and watching TV all night long and go to bed at a decent hour so you can stay awake during church. You say, I can't take this. You can bear any burden God brings your way. You have the strength that's available to you. And so, you know, I'm not picking on any individual. How could I? I've had my back to them all morning long. So if you're under conviction, that's God bringing it, not me. How do you survive? How do you survive? Well, to be a survivor, number four, you've got to believe what you face is happening to make you strong, not break you.
Yes.
When burdens come my way, I realize God did not bring it to break me. He brought it to make me. Even if you have done wrong and God is judging your life, and that's not for me to decide about you, that's between you and God. But if you've done wrong and God is judging your life, that judgment is for your own good. So I don't believe that when you're facing a burden that it came to destroy you. I think it came not to break you, but to make you. He's preparing you for something. And that's the attitude I always take. When I'm going through a tough time, I always take the attitude, He's teaching me. He's preparing me. If you face financial burdens, what's He trying to teach you? If you're facing problems with your children, what's He trying to teach you? Your heartache is there to be used as a building supply to build your life. God is trying to build you and make you, and I always believe that. That's one of the ways I survive. I look at each trial in my life as a college course on survival and decide I want to get an A+ when I get my final paper back. See, if you want to be a survivor, there's some things you'll have to do. You'll have to decide to be a survivor. You have to decide that others need you to be a survivor. You have to decide that God is just and would not put more on you than you could handle. If you're going to be a survivor, you're going to have to believe that what God is doing is training and teaching and preparing you, not trying to tear you down. You need to take God off trial. And believe what He's doing is good for you. Number five, to be a survivor, you'll have to believe that it could have been worse. To be a survivor, you have to believe whatever's come your way, it could have been worse. I'm an optimist in regard to the will of God. I always believe whatever's come my way, I got the best end of the deal. You're so negative and backslidden, you always think you got the worst end of the deal. The further away from God, the worse you think the deal God gave you. The closer to God you are, the better you think the deal God gave you. Now some of you can monitor how close to God you are. You feel sorry for yourself and sorry for everything going on around you, and you say, it just couldn't be much worse. It could be a lot worse. You ought to be saying, thank God He's taken such good care of me, it could be worse. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Fine, let's see how this week goes. If you want it to be a little worse so God can prove that the preacher's telling the truth, so be it. Or you might want to get right with God and say, you know, I ought to change my attitude about the will of God in my life. See, to be a survivor, you've got to believe it could have been worse. We would go on vacation with the family, and as we'd travel up the road in the early years, if we would miss an exit, and always Mrs. Owens is in charge of the map, Mrs. White. Mrs. Owens is in charge of the map. Why we do that, I don't know. Because she'll say something like, honey, I think that was our exit. Could you tell me a little sooner, maybe? But I learned that when we missed the exit, that rather than being angry, I learned that maybe God was protecting me. And I decided that when something detours me just a bit in life, it may just be that God is protecting me. There are so many times in life when you're going through a burden or a heartache or you're facing something and you're saying, this is tragic, it couldn't be worse. God may have just been keeping it from being worse. The Hartmans last night faced a difficult time. Their boy was in a car wreck. He's okay. You say, what a tragic thing. Could have been worse. Could have been a lot worse. And his trip to the hospital might have been God sparing his life, rather than attempting to take it. See, when you face burdens and heartaches and you say, it's got me off track a little bit, I don't like it. You don't like it because you have a plan. Well, God has a plan. And in God's plan, He just did what was best for you. Your plan might have got you in deep trouble. It might be that God has intervened and it could have been worse. God gives you the best end of the deal. Now you listen to me. Everybody in this house, you will face burdens. You will face heartaches. None of us get out of it. But I'll guarantee you, when you face a burden or you face a heartache, your God's good to you. God's good all the time. And when your burdens come your way and your heartaches came your way, God gave you the best end of the deal. I was thinking about my wife. Here a year ago or so, she faced the operation of having one of her legs amputated. Dear sweet lady had stroke after stroke. Half of her body is paralyzed. Her health is a mess. She had her leg cut off all the way at the top of her thigh. And we went in to see her. You know what she said? While everybody was trying to comfort her, she said, I still have another one. A lady lying there with a leg cut off who has the attitude, I still have one. Whatever you lose, you spend all your time mourning your loss rather than thanking God for what you still have. I always believe that God gives me the best heartache available. Why? I believe in Him. I know how He feels about me. And He feels the same way about you, but it's too bad you slapping in the face with your attitude. Everybody has burdens, and I know that God hand chooses every burden. It'd be nice if you'd start believing in the God you say you believe in. You want to know how to be a survivor? Believe that it could have been worse. You want to know how to be a survivor? Believe that God is trying to make you, not break you. You want to know how to be a survivor? Believe that God is just and will not bring more to your life than you can handle. You want to know how to be a survivor? Realize other people are watching and you need to survive and live the Christian life in a successful way for somebody else's sake, not just for yours. You want to learn to be a survivor? You got to want to be a survivor. You got to determine you're going to survive. If you want to be a survivor, I think you're going to have to believe that God knows what He's doing if you don't even know what God's doing yourself. It's called faith. It takes faith to be a survivor. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, it says, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions, tribulations that you endure. What's being said here is somebody was watching and said, we are encouraged because you endure your tribulations by faith. You say, Brother Owens, by hearing you talk thus far about this little outline, sounds to me like you have a lot of faith in God. Yes, I do. Because the Bible says that which is not of faith is sin. Yes, I'm to have faith in God. Yes, I have faith that God's good. Yes, I have faith that God gave me the best of the burden. Yes, I have faith that God is not going to burden me down more than I can bear. Yes, I do. And you need to get some faith in your God. Whether you know what He's doing or not is irrelevant. You just need to believe He knows what He's doing. That's why He's God. You don't have to understand it. Just believe God understands it. You don't have to like it. But you must believe that He knows what He's doing and trust His judgment about what's happening to you. Someone passed away. You need to have faith that God is good. You need to have faith about this illness or this heartache or this pain or this separation from your loved one. Have faith that God knows what He's doing. Number 7, to be a survivor, you cannot carry tomorrow's burdens today. These are the things that I do to keep on going, stay on top side, keep on being encouraging, keep on having the right attitude about the things of God while I go through trials and heartaches and burdens. To be a survivor, I cannot carry tomorrow's burdens today. You say, why? Because God only provides strength today for today's burdens. He will not give you strength today for tomorrow's burdens. Why? He doesn't want you to carry tomorrow's burdens today. Tomorrow's not here yet. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies, and they are new every morning." Why does God bring to you new strength and mercy every morning? Because you're going to need it. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, God will give you the strength for tomorrow morning when you wake up. Tomorrow's burdens are there tomorrow, and the strength to face them is there tomorrow. There are way too many of you worried about Monday on Sunday. You got your hands full with Sunday right now. Don't you worry about January in December. You take care of December in December. Don't you worry about next week, this week. You take care of this week, this week. You take care of now. Some of you, you're not going to get anything out of preaching this morning because you're worried about the roast in the oven when you ought to be worried about what God's cooking up for you right this second and trying to give you a spiritual meal to strengthen you. And you're not going to have the burden to carry the heartache of later because you were not busy about now, now. Yes, sir. To survive, you've got to carry today's burdens today and let tomorrow's burdens take care of themselves. Take one day at a time. Make it through today. It's the most important day, and tomorrow, the strength will meet you there. You freak out about tomorrow, but your problem may be solved by tomorrow, so you freak out for nothing. There's some of you got a problem. You just flat out panic about everything. You have a lack of faith in your life. Here's what some of you do. On Monday, you go, everything's going to fall apart. You fuss at your husband. Your kids are afraid of you. What tomorrow? You wake up tomorrow, it doesn't even happen. What's wrong? Devil's got you about half flipped out. He's psyching you out. You're alive today. You're making it today. And today is all you have. Get it together. Christians shouldn't be behaving that way. God gives enough strength for today, today. Don't use up today's strength worrying about tomorrow. It's a vicious cycle. You need strength for today, now. But so many of you, the reason why you're going to have a rough day today is because you're worried about tomorrow. You're using up today's strength on tomorrow's burden. You want to be a survivor? You take care of today, today. And we'll let tomorrow take care of the things of itself. You want to be a survivor? To be a survivor, you have to remember that Jesus didn't quit on you. You know something, no matter what I go through, all I have to do is affix my attention onto the cross of Calvary and everything that Jesus Christ went through for me. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." You know what he did? He endured the pain for us. Now listen. He went through everything that he went through, but he survived it. He went through a mock trial, but he survived it. He went through jail time, but he survived it. He went through the beating with the cat of nine tails, but he survived it. He was beaten with staves, but he survived it. He carried a cross, but he survived it. He was crowned with thorns, but he survived it. He was nailed by his hands and feet, but he survived it. They put a spear in his side, but he survived it. He was stripped naked and embarrassed, but he survived it. He's a survivor, and I've got news for you. If he would go through all that, they put him in a grave, he was dead, and he even survived death. Why? For you. He had eternal life coming to him because he was God. You can only have it coming to you if he survived it. And he did. And he did it for me too. And every time I get whiny and put my tail between my legs and I want to feel sorry for myself, I remember Jesus Christ, who never did wrong, and all the torture he went through it for me, and I decided if he can survive it for me and the hell that he went through, I can survive it for him. I will keep my chin up. I will serve my God. Even if it is out of duty, if I'm bleeding, I'll survive. If I'm in pain, I'll survive. If I hurt, I'll survive. If the pain is deep and hurt and the tears are many, I plan to survive. Why? He did it for me. He didn't quit on you. To be a survivor, you're going to have to claim His forgiveness. You see, Psalm 103, verse 1 and 3, it says, "Bless the Lord who forgiveth all thine iniquities." You see, I am my own biggest enemy. For me to survive, I got to survive my own sinful stupidity. Now, I'm the one that slows me down. I'm the one that gets me in trouble. And so if I'm going to survive, I've got to believe in His forgiveness. You say, why? Because I sin. And my sin gets me down. So what do? I take the many verses that are in the Bible. I go to the verses on forgiveness, and God said, I'll forgive you if you sin. I go to Him. I say, God, forgive me for my sin. He says He will. I, by faith, claim it. And I go on and serve God. That's one of the reasons why I survive. I have faith in the forgiveness of God. When He says, I'll forgive you, I believe He'll forgive me. And I go on and I serve God anyway. I just analyze myself. How is it, if I am a survivor, that I have survived thus far? Why, I have faith in the forgiveness of God. I have to survive. I wonder how many people have gone out and done wrong, but they did not have faith in the forgiveness of God, and they got themselves depressed, and they quit church, and they quit on God. They get out there, and we'll go out and invite them to come back to church. They say, oh, you don't want me to come back? Yes, we do. Oh, God doesn't want me back? Yes, He does. Who have you been listening to? You haven't been listening to God. You haven't been listening to the Bible.
Right.
All you got to do is come back to God. If you want to be a survivor, there's some of you, you need to come back to God. You need to get on this altar and say, God, forgive me of my sin. I'm back. I'm going to serve You if you want to survive. You got to quit hanging on to your sin. You got to quit hanging on to that guilt that comes with the sin. Yes, you should not sin. And you should stay away from wrong. But when you do wrong, get to your God if you want to survive. A lot of people don't survive this time of the year. I want you to. And let me say finally, to be a survivor, you must depend on the Holy Spirit's power. 1 John 2:20, it says that ye have an unction from the Holy One. The word unction there, it has many different definitions. It's talking about the Holy One, which includes the Holy Spirit of God. But the word unction there, one of the definitions was you, through the Holy Spirit, have the ability to hang on and handle things through His power. I have an unction. I have the ability to hang on and to handle what life gives me because of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives within you and He is there to empower you. Your strength is not enough. Carnal Christians get depressed easily. Let me tell you why. When I say carnal, that means they're in the flesh instead of being in the Spirit. That means they're more interested in what their flesh wants than what the Spirit of God wants. You see, when you are living in the Spirit and you're asking God to guide you and direct you in all that you do, and you talk to the Holy Spirit and you're letting Him work in your life, He'll empower you. He'll keep you up. He'll keep you believing you can. But when you live in the flesh will get you depressed. The flesh will get you down. And folks, just so you know, your character is not enough. You say, I'm a pretty tough cookie, Brother Owens. I'll keep on going because I'm tough. No, God will bring something to you to prove that you need Him. May I warn those of you that are of great character, if you're a pretty tough person, then your burdens will be pretty tough. Because God will need to take you beyond your own personal ability, to where you have to depend on Him. I say, Lord, why? I'm not sure I can take it. And He says, Jeff, I got you where I want you. You're a pretty tough fella. You read them, wrote those books about character. Strong. But you're going to need me, son. That I brought you to this point because without me you're nothing. The greater your character, the greater your challenges. So God can put you in a situation where you must depend on Him. I'm thinking of Brother Jerry Lowther, our dear member. I think Brother Lowther is out ill this morning. Has a multiple sclerosis. You know that Brother Jerry Lowther in his younger days was in top physical condition. You know that Brother Jerry Lowther was in the military and he was trained special forces in the Air Force. Very, very capable man. Very capable. Top-notch military man. I believe one of the reasons why Brother Lowther faces such a deep burden with his multiple sclerosis is because he had so much character as a young man. God wanted to make sure Brother Lowther depended on him. The tougher you are, the less you seem to think you need God. But if you love God, He'll show you you need Him by bringing tough things in your life. You say, what I face, Brother Owens, is heavy. Is it heavy enough that you can't take it all on your own? Then God has you right where He wants you. Because He's just waiting for you to say, Lord, I'm at the end of myself. And He said, at the end of yourself is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. He says, that's where I live. I live at the end of you. I'm here for you. So what do you do at that point, Brother Owens? I'll tell you what I do. I crawl into His hands. I say, you're going to have to carry me for a little while. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm beat up. He'll say, climb on board, son. I've just been waiting for you. Paul said, I endure. I don't know if I am a survivor. If I am, I've analyzed what little survival techniques I use, and I've given them to you today. If you're here today and you're not born again, you need to get saved. You will not survive death and the life to come without getting saved. You need to come to the end of yourself and realize you can't save yourself. Say, what's at the end of that? Salvation through Jesus Christ. Because He can take care of that for you. Let's bow our heads.